I'm just waiting for one more person. My favorite person, though. Hey, Dave, I'm getting a little bit of feedback from the... There we go. When I tell you that I was pacing around our house, you know, praying and pouring my heart out to God, it isn't just an expression. Our house is built in such a way that I can literally pace in a circle. I can walk from the kitchen to the dining room, to the living room, to our bedroom, to the bathroom, to the kitchen, and then just go around and around in circles. And on this particular day, that's exactly where I was, and that's exactly what I was doing. I was praying and praying and praying and really pouring my heart out before the Lord. I was praying, you know, God, what do you want me to do? God, what is your direction? God, I need you to help me understand. God, you know that this is something I do not take lightly. God, I love being a pastor at Grace Bible Church. I love the people there. God, I feel like you've also opened this door for the possibility of me stepping in at RHMA as their next executive director. God, what do you want me to do? And literally, over and over, I found myself pacing my house, praying and pouring my heart out before the Lord. And then, and I got to say, I was very much surprised, the Lord answered. And not in an audible voice or anything like that, but yet, clearly and distinctly, there was a response. It's not normative. It's not something that's happened other than one other time in my entire life, but I most certainly received a response from the Lord in this time of prayer. And God's response was short enough that I could still remember it and will remember it the rest of my life. And it was this: you already know. That was his response. You already know. I was walking from the kitchen into the dining room, and that was the response I got. Adam, you already know. And you know what? He was right. He's always right. I already knew the answer. I already knew what God wanted me to do. It's just that following him in faith in that way, taking that step, that was going to be really, really scary and really hard and outside of my comfort zone. It was going to mean that it might be hard for a stretch here at Grace Bible Church. It meant it was going to be hard for a stretch with our family, and it was just, it was a lot. And so I, even though I knew what God wanted me to do in my heart of hearts, I was still pacing and praying and pouring my heart out, almost as if to give God an opportunity that, you know, if you don't want me to do this hard thing and just want me to keep doing the easy thing that you've called me to previously and that I know and is simple, you know, I'd be happy to do that too. Following the Lord in faith is hard. And I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. If anybody tells you following the Lord faithfully is easy, I don't know that they've actually done it. Because oftentimes when God calls us to follow him in faith, it leads us into difficult situations that are beyond what we know, beyond what we're comfortable with. It's hard when you know that God wants you to invite your sister to move in with you following her very messy divorce. Her husband cheated on her with their neighbor, so there's no way she's living there anymore, so she needs a place to stay, and he's choosing to divorce her, and it's just, it's a lot. And guess what? It's hard for you to consider having your grown sister move into your home. It's hard when you know that God wants you to volunteer and help out with Vacation Bible School because kids take a lot of energy, a lot. And a week of it, that's hard for you. It's hard when you know that God wants you to step away from your current friend group because, well, they've gotten involved with partying and recreational drug use and things like that. But You've known them all through high school. And so to step away from what you know and what's comfortable, it's hard. It's hard to follow the Lord in faith. And that's why it's good to have stories in the pages of Scripture, historical accounts that speak to us of what it's like when people do follow the Lord faithfully. And that's what we're going to be studying together this morning as we begin a series together in the life of Abram, talking about his first steps of faith. So we're going to be together this morning in Genesis 12, 1 to 9. If you've got your Bibles with you or you want to open up your app, we are in Genesis chapter 12, picking up right there in verse 1. And we are going to begin a series together looking at the early life of Abram. And this is the guy that you know as Abraham as well. And inevitably, I will call him Abraham like 7 times today and throughout this series. But at this point in time, he doesn't have that name yet. At this point in time, he's just Abram. And we're going to talk about his first steps of faith together this morning. And as we pick up in Genesis 12:1, the first thing we're going to see is that, following God often requires faith. Following God is often going to require faith. And I know that this sounds pretty basic. Nothing special. Of course it does, Adam, but you know the truth the same as I do. Most of us would prefer to follow the Lord with as little faith as possible. You're Christian, so you want to follow the Lord. I get that, but if there's an option where we don't have to change, where we don't have to do anything different, where we don't have to do anything hard or that's a stretch for us, God, I would take that option rather than this one where I need to step out in faith. But as is so often the case with us, and it's certainly the case with Abram here, following God is going to require faith. We pick up in verse 1 and we're told, "The Lord said to Abram." Just as a quick reminder, and I've already alluded to it, this is Abram, also known as Abraham, that we know well. He will become Abraham. He will get that name. He will become the father of the Hebrew people. He will take his one and only son, Isaac, and faithfully offer him before the Lord in faith that one day God can raise him up, if that's what God needs to do, so that God can fulfill his promises to him. All of that will happen. But none of that has happened yet. As we pick up in Genesis 12, we're not to Abraham, we are just with Abram. And you know what? Abram is a 75-year-old man that is comfortably living his life. He's settled in. He's married. They know the land. They know their people. And they are living a relatively good, uncomplicated life. And into that life, that settled life at 75, God speaks to Abram. And he says this, "Leave. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." God steps into Abram's life, and he says, "I want you to leave. I want you to leave all of this behind. I want you to leave your country." That's going to be the land that he knows, the place that he knows. And remember, that he's a herdsman, which means knowing the land is incredibly important, knowing where he can take his flocks, knowing where he can water them. That's part of his bread and butter. But he's going to leave all that behind and go to a place that he doesn't know anything about it. Not only are you going to leave your country, your land, you're going to leave your people. Your people, that's his community. Those are the people around him, the people that talk the same way, the people that share the same values, the people that know the same stories and do the same thing and eat the same food. That's hard to leave behind. You know, it's funny. I find that by the time most of our kids graduate from high school, they would be happy to never eat another Michael's sub again. Because you pretty much have Michael's subs like at everything, every church event, every luncheon, all the time. They're done. But then they leave it behind. And it's so funny, when they come back, it's like, They realize that nobody else makes subs like Michael's. The bread's just not the same. It's just, there's something different about it. And they want to come back, and now it's something that's near and dear to their heart. Oh, of course I want to go and get a Michael's sub. That's because it's part of our people, our culture. It's special to us. And Abram's going to be leaving that behind. And also, he says, leave your father's household. So that's their support system. That's their family. That's all the people that they know. That they're going to be leaving all of them behind to go to this land that God will show him. This is going to take faith. This is going to be a big stretch, a big change. And not only are they leaving it all behind, but again, it's worth noting, Abram doesn't even know where they are going. We're told in Hebrews that by faith, Abram, when called to go to a place he would later receive by an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. God says, I want you to leave all this. And Abram says, where are we going? And God says, well, pack up. I'll show you along the way. That's got to be hard. We want to know exactly what's going to happen and when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. Knowing that this is like a big ask for Abram, God gives him a glimpse into the good things that he has in store. Because God isn't just asking him to do this. God says, listen, I will make you into a great nation. Abram, I will make you into a great nation. And this is kind of big. This is important because, you see, Abram is in a nice, settled life. But at 75, he didn't yet have any grandkids. In fact, at 75, none of his kids were even getting married so that he could be hoping for grandkids. Because at 75, Abram didn't have any kids at all. It's kind of the one big thing that was missing from their life. And God says to him, I'm going to make you a great nation. So this is kind of big. This is something special. Not only that, but God says, I will bless you. He's telling Abram, I will bless you. I will watch over you, both spiritually and tangibly, as you follow me in this. I will make your name great, God says to him. In fact, you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. God says, I'm going to make your name so great, I'm going to bless you so much that there will be more than enough blessing for you. It will overflow into those around you, those that are helping you and supporting you as you seek my purposes. And if there's anybody that tries to stop you from doing what I've called you to do, God says, they're going to have to answer to me. In fact, it's going to be so big, so great, God says, all peoples on earth, Abram, will be blessed through you. All peoples on earth. Everybody in the entire world will be blessed because of what I am going to do in your life. It's highly unlikely that Abram understood the fullness of this promise. But we know it. We know that ultimately, Christ, the Messiah, who we just celebrated last week, died and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins. Abram was like his great, 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 a lot of greats grandfather. He came from the line of Abram. Paul tells us in Galatians 3:8 that the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, that's us included, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. He looks right back to this promise and say, God was promising what we celebrated this past Easter to Abram on that day. And as we hear about all these blessings, it's easy for us to say, well, of course you should follow the Lord. Of course you should trust him, Abram. And I get it. That's easy for us because, well, one, we know how the story ends. Most of you have heard this story a lot of times. So we know about God's faithfulness and we know what God will do. And that's great. We know, but do you understand that at this point in time, Abram didn't? He didn't know how this was going to be fulfilled. He didn't know what this was going to look like. He didn't know. He should have known God's faithfulness, but let's be honest. He didn't know how it was going to work out. He's got to take it all on faith. As we already said, he didn't even know where they were going. And when that's us being asked to step out in faith with all those unknowns, it's a whole lot harder. When you're looking at moving your sister into your home, how long is it going to be? What's it going to look like? What are we going to do if this comes up or that comes up? There's a lot of faith that's required. When you're thinking about volunteering for Vacation Bible School, how am I going to be feeling that week? What's going to happen? What am I going to do? What if there's an ornery kid? What's going to happen with that? There's a lot of faith that's required. If I step away from this group of friends that I know God's wanted me to step away from and I've known for a while, well, who are going to be my new friend group? Or what am I going to do if they don't like it? Or what's going to happen then? Again, there's faith that's required. So often as we follow God in faith, it's going to require faith from us. And because that's a hard thing, because that's a difficult thing for us to do, there can be a tendency to kind of compromise. Sometimes our faithfulness isn't there in full because this is hard, because this is scary. It can even happen to someone like Abram, as we see in verses 4 to 5. We're told this, so Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. So, we are told, Abram steps out in faith. He's going to follow the Lord. He's going to do as the Lord has asked, and he does. 97%. What am I talking about? Well, remember, the Lord said, I want you to leave your father's household and go to the land I will show you. And what are we told? So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And it's worth noting, we're told Lot went with him before we're told his wife went with him. So I think the author's trying to get our attention to this idea that Lot came along too. Lot's mentioned twice. Sarai's only mentioned once. And those of you that know the bigger story, you know that bringing Lot along, well, that's going to lead to some, let's just call them shenanigans. That's a nice way of putting the troubles that are going to come with Lot being along on this journey. How did Lot end up going along with them? Well, I suspect that Abram said something like this to himself. Well, what if we need some extra help with the herds? Or what if we run into trouble? Or, and this is most likely, what if God needs some help fulfilling that promise that he will make me into a great nation? What if there are no kids for me and Sarai? What if Lot should be my heir? I'd better just bring him along, that favorite relative. Why don't I just bring him along just in case? He faithfully followed the Lord, but his faithfulness wasn't there in full. He compromised just a little bit. And it happens. It happens to all of us. We say, well, what if instead of having my sister move into our home, what if we just get her a place to stay and she can be there for a couple weeks until she sorts things out? We say, well, what if instead of volunteering to help with Vacation Bible School, they've usually got that supply list that comes up. What if I just sign up and give money to cover some supplies instead? We say, well, what if instead of just leaving that friend group behind, I just don't hang out with them on the weekends when they get up to the trouble that they do. And we convince ourselves that this is what God wants because we're heading in mostly the right direction. And we say, well, it's better than nothing. And I mean, I guess it is better than nothing, but I think we'd be lying to ourselves if we said that we are following the Lord in full with all of our faithfulness. Now, I would also love to tell you that if you do follow the Lord in full, that everything's going to go great. There won't be any problems. That the secret to not having any difficulties and troubles in life is following the Lord in full faithfulness. And that if you do that, no problems along the way. But that would be a lie. That's not the way it works. The truth is that even when we follow the Lord in faith, we may well face difficulties along the way. And that's something we need to come to terms with. That even when we follow the Lord faithfully, even when we do everything right, there's still often difficulties along the way. And if you don't believe me, you know, you can try and read the Bible. Read about David and read about Joseph and read about Jesus and read about the disciples. I mean, it happens again and again and again. And it even happens with Abram, following the Lord in faith, leaving everything behind and heading to the promised land. Look at what we read when we get to verse 6. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. So Abram's left. They've traveled. They're heading through the land. And they realize this. Somebody already lives here, God. You weren't bringing us to, like, an empty place. Like, people already have this land. Are you sure you brought us to the right place? What are we supposed to do? And again, we're told specifically that these are the Canaanites. So it's not like there were a bunch of godly people waiting there in Canaan. And they said, Brother Abram, we're here to welcome you with open arms. Come on, settle down. This is going to be great. We're getting ready for a potluck. Come join us. No, 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 no. The Canaanites were in the land. A fearful, pagan, terrible people. Again, it's enough to make a person wonder, you know, God, did you get this right? God, is this really what you wanted me to do? Maybe I didn't understand something, God, because there's a pretty big problem right here in front of us. Again, if you want to see this lived out, just jump forward a few hundred years, because the Israelites are going to come back, and they're going to find this land God promised isn't empty. It's filled with fearful pagan people. And what do? They want to turn around and go home. God, this surely isn't what you want. God, no, we should be somewhere different. It's what Abram faces here as well as they initially enter into the land, that this land is occupied. This land that God has promised, there's going to be difficulties along the way. And we need to wrap our heads and hearts around this. Because again, I feel like a lot of the time when we face those difficulties, we can often say, it must be a sign from God. He must not really want me to do this. Otherwise, there wouldn't be difficulties. Otherwise, there wouldn't be these troubles along the way. Maybe God wants me to do something different. God has called us to this. And if he's called us to do this, to follow him in faith, those difficulties, they don't mean that we're doing the wrong thing. When your sister moves in, and guess what? She's still your sister. She's a full-grown version of herself. And so all of your interpersonal conflict and difficulties, those are still there. She still doesn't pick up after herself. It was just like when you were in high school together. Those issues are still there. Or, you know what, you volunteer to help out at Vacation Bible School, and you've got the energy, and things are going great, praise the Lord. And then it happens. The third night of Vacation Bible School, before you leave the house, your basement starts to back up with sewage. And you are already kind of tired. And this is one more thing. And it's like, oh God, what's going on here? You step away from that friend group. And you know what? They're not really happy about it. And they're not nice about it. Who do you think you are? Do you think you're better than us? Is that what this is? They don't let you leave lightly. And it's important to understand that those difficulties that we face from following in faith, they don't necessarily mean we're doing something wrong or that God wanted us to head in a different direction. Oftentimes, it's a part of the journey of faith that the Lord has called us to. And in all of this, I think probably the most important thing for us to remember is that when we do this, when we follow the Lord in faith, that's when we're going to find the Father by our side. It's when we follow the Lord in faith that we're going to find the Father by our side. Because remember, he's the one that's called us to do this. We didn't choose these things on our own. We didn't choose these difficult paths because we wanted to necessarily. We often did it because the Lord laid it on our heart. The Lord called us to do this. And if the Lord has called us to do this, he's not going to hang us out to dry. He's called us to this. He's going to be there by our side. And we certainly see this with Abram as we pick up in verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he, Abram, built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent. And Bethel on the west of Ai and on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. I don't think it's a coincidence at all that Abram realizes this land is occupied by the Canaanites in verse 6. And right there in verse 7, the Lord is by his side. The Lord appeared to Abram. To your offspring I will give this land, he reaffirms. That there's nothing new in this. This is all stuff that Abram's heard before, but God knows that Abram just, he needs some encouragement. He needs some help in this. One, God says, hey, this is the right place. I know these guys are here. We'll take care of it. Listen, this is the right place. To your offspring, I will give this land, God says. And there's also an affirmation, again, of this idea that, yes, your offspring. Abram, you and Sarai will have children. I know you brought Lot along. He's not going to be the guy. To your offspring, I will give this land. God is reaffirming Abram. He's trying to kind of set him back on the course. He's trying to help him along the way. And so often that's the case for us. As we follow the Lord in faith, when we face those difficulties, we find ourselves by the Father's side. We find the Father in heaven right there alongside us, helping us and encouraging us along the way. Maybe for you, it's that conversation you have with your sister. And it's just, it's after a long day, but the two of you sit down after the kids are in bed, and she opens up to you just about all the difficulties she's faced. You know, and she shares with you, you have been such an answer to prayer. I can't tell you how much of a blessing this is. And it's just like the Lord encouraging you that this is the right journey. This is the right direction, even though there have been some difficulties along the way. It's when you call the plumber about the sewage backup in your house, and he says, oh, lucky you called when you did. If you'd have called 15 minutes later, I would have been out of town on the way home. But in fact, I'm in the neighborhood. I'll be there in 3 minutes. We'll get you taken care of. It's not a coincidence that he's there at that time. God knew what he was doing, and God's even helping you through this to encourage you and strengthen you. It's what happens when you decide you're stepping away from that friend group. You're going to try and find a new friend group. So you go to a Bible study there at college, and you find some people that you connect with. Praise the Lord. And not only that, they invite you to go frisbee golfing with them. So now you've got something to do on the weekend as well, and God's helping you, and God's strengthening you, and God's there by your side, pointing you in that right direction, and trying to give you comfort and strength along the way. When we follow the Lord, it's not always easy. The truth is that it often takes faith. Sometimes a little, sometimes a lot. And when we do that, there's going to be a temptation to follow him, but not in full. We want to do so in full. And even when we do, though, there are likely to be difficulties we face along the way. But we need to understand, to remind ourselves that we did not choose these paths on our own, but it's something that the Lord has called us to. And that as we face those difficulties along the way, there we will find the Father by our side. Will you bow with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer, and Lord, you've called us all to different things, but I have no doubt that there's directions you've called each of us in this life, Lord, whether it's at work or with our family or in how you want us to witness for you, Lord. And first of all, we confess that we don't always want to listen. We don't always want to follow because, Lord, it takes faith and it's hard and it's scary. And, Lord, we just ask that you would encourage us and strengthen us in that. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for when we compromise that faithfulness, when we're not there in full. And, Lord, we ask that you would help us and strengthen us when we face those difficulties along the way. Lord, we love you and trust you. And it's because of that that ultimately we do seek to follow you in faith. And we just ask that you would give us the strength, Lord, to do so. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen.